Today's Pentecost Sunday, and we're celebrating an extraordinary moment in the history of the world. We're celebrating the birth of the Church of Jesus Christ. And why is that exciting? The Church of Jesus Christ turns sinners into saints. It shows outcasts a place to belong, and it's a hospital for the wounded. The Church of Jesus Christ is beautiful. It's breathtaking, it's heartwarming, it's inspiring, it's glorious and victorious. The Church of Jesus Christ is where those who are hurting, bound, and broken can come to have their chains cut off and be made free from addiction and oppression. The Church of Jesus Christ shows people that they're anointed, full of purpose, stable, triumphant, healthy, righteous, sanctified, redeemed, justified, and uncondemned. No other organization on earth is like the Church of Jesus Christ. Nothing else can even come close. Can we give God a praise for the Church of Jesus Christ this morning? Hallelujah. And it all began 2,000 years ago, when one of the most amazing occurrences in all of human history took place, and the Bible recorded it in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Turn to your neighbor and say, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, how about a little enthusiasm? They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Pentecost takes place 50 days after Passover, and it is as big as Christmas and Easter. And why did all this happen? It happened because that was God's plan and design. It was amazing. It was new. It was like nothing the 120 people present on that day had ever experienced or felt. But it wasn't a surprise. It was not a surprise. Why? Because John the Baptist said it would happen. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am. So much greater that I'm not worthy even to be his slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." It wasn't a surprise. Jesus said it would happen. John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and it doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you." That word advocate is the Greek word paraclete, meaning one called alongside to help. The function of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer is to be a helper. In fact, Jesus told the disciples, don't even begin to minister without the experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 24, verse 49, it says, "And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." Somebody say, he fills you. He fills you. Amen. They were already saved. They already believed in Jesus. But Jesus told them they needed something else. That is, there is something more. And that something else is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is the doorway to maximizing your potential. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you that on the morning, six people have given their lives to Jesus Christ. And we thank you that wherever the word of God is preached, that salvation follows. Holy Spirit, thank you for being here. Move in this room right now. Break down any walls, any barriers. God, you are the author of peace. And I bind any confusion in the name of Jesus. And Lord, ask that you just speak through me with pinpoint accuracy today. And God, we're here to bring you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody said, amen. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 17. The Apostle Paul said, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand. Do not be unwise, but understand. Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Somebody say, filled with the Spirit. It is God's will to be filled, and it is unwise to not understand God's will. That word says, do not be unwise, but understand. Don't be unwise. Understand. Now, to be drunk with wine is to be dissipated, Paul said. Words associated with dissipation are bent or broken. Wasted energy, wasted time, wasted money, wasted resources, distraction, diversion, self-gratification, self-indulgence, to be torn. Paul was writing to believers, and he contrasts dissipation by saying, don't be like that, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can associate being filled with the Holy Spirit as being complete, to be focused, to be whole, to be driven, living in the center of God's will, to be efficient, to be effective, to be a difference maker. Who is this Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is the third member of the Trinity. He is not Jesus's third cousin twice removed. The Trinity consists of God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are three distinct entities that function together in unity, just like an egg. An egg has a shell, an egg has a yolk, and an egg has the white part, and nobody knows what part we're supposed to eat and what part we're not. But an egg has three parts, and they all function together as an egg. Jesus prayed to the Father, and the Father gave the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Jesus prayed to the Father, and the Father gave the Holy Spirit through Jesus. Three distinct persons operating in perfect unity, which is further proof that God operates in the Spirit, because you can't even get three people to agree on lunch today. These three agree on eternity. The Holy Spirit is so important to the believer that Jesus said in John 16:7, he said, but in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Jesus said, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. Now, just to be clear, it almost looks like Jesus is saying, it is best for you that I go away. And it's better for you that I leave and send the Holy Spirit than if I stay here and just hang out with you. It looks like that's what he's saying, because that's what he is saying. And no wonder. The New Testament shows that in the everyday life of the believer, the Holy Spirit is our comforter, our helper, our teacher, our companion, our assistant, our leader, our director, our anointer. The Holy Spirit helps us to remember the words of Jesus and teaches us how to apply God's word in our lives, and the most important ministry of all. John 15:26. But I will send you the advocate, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. The most important ministry of the Holy Spirit is to testify about Jesus Christ. The most important thing you can do in your life is testify about Jesus Christ. That is the number one ministry of the Holy Spirit. He glorifies our exalted Lord and Savior. He reveals Christ, and he opens our eyes to the promises of God in Christ. Jesus says in John chapter 16, he says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, and he will take of mine and declare it to you. See, the truth is in God's word. The Holy Spirit guides us to an understanding of the truth as revealed in the Bible. What he hears from God, he speaks to you. And he will always glorify Jesus. He will always speak consistently with the word of God. And this morning, I want to give you some cold, hard facts about being filled with the Holy Spirit. These are cold, hard facts about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Cold, hard fact number one, the Holy Spirit is a gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift. For any visitor here today, we have a gift for you. For every believer here today, God has a gift for you. Luke 11:13, it says this, Jesus said, "If you then, evil as you are, know how to give good gifts," or gifts that are to their advantage, "to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask and continue to ask him?" The Holy Spirit is a gift from God. Everybody loves an advantage, right? I love an advantage. The Holy Spirit is a gift that gives you an advantage. Cold hard fact number two, the Holy Spirit is a promise from God. The Holy Spirit is a gift, and the Holy Spirit is a promise from God. Luke chapter 24, verse 49 says, "And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." It's a promise of God. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is a promise of God, and that means it's a good thing. Everything that comes from God is a good thing. If it's a gift from God and it's a promise from God, then it's a good thing. Amen. Just like salvation is a promise to all who call on the name of the Lord and believe in Jesus. Just like healing is a promise. Just like deliverance is a promise. Just like joy, peace, purpose in our lives are all promises. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is a promise, and that means it's a good thing. Cold hard fact number three, the Holy Spirit is for every believer. The Holy Spirit is for every believer. John 7:39 says, "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive." Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 38, this was on the day of Pentecost. Peter got up and gave one of the greatest sermons in the history of the world, and it was recorded in the book of Acts. The funny thing is, right before Peter received the Holy Spirit, he was hiding in an upper room. After he received the Holy Spirit, he stood up in the streets of Jerusalem and preached a sermon so great that 3,000 people got saved. Before that, he was thinking about going back into fishing. It says in verse 38, "Each of you must repent of your sins, turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ to show that you have received forgiveness for your sins. Then," somebody say then. "Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God." Notice that Peter didn't preach, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He preached, "Repent." He preached the gospel. Jesus didn't come and preach miracles. Jesus preached the word and the miracles followed. We preach the word and the power of God follows. Everywhere the word of God is preached, the power of God comes with it. The filling of the Holy Spirit comes after salvation. Cold hard fact number four, being filled with the Holy Spirit is a separate experience from salvation. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is a separate experience from salvation. Now I need you to do me a favor. I need you to nudge your neighbor and make sure they're awake. Go ahead, take a minute and do it right now. Make sure they're awake. All right, I don't want you to miss this. This is important. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. The book of Acts says, "While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the inner regions until he reached Ephesus. On the coast, when he found several believers." "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" he asked them. "No," they replied. "We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." "What you talking about, Paul?" "Then what baptism did you experience?" he asked. And they replied, "The baptism of John." And Paul said, "John's baptism called for repentance from sin, but John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later," meaning Jesus. "As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Then, somebody say then. Then When Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. They believed in Jesus, but they had not yet received the Holy Spirit. They were baptized in the name of Jesus, but they had not yet received the Holy Spirit. And then after that, Paul laid hands on them and they received the filling of the Holy Spirit. First, they were saved. During praise and worship today, we asked if anyone wanted to begin a new life in Jesus Christ, and five people said yes. Then Mike said during announcements, we have a baptism service coming up on July 8th. It's going to be awesome. For the first time ever, we're going to have baptisms here in this room in a giant swimming pool. It's going to be great. First saved, then baptized in the name of Jesus, then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. It says, but when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. They believed and then they were baptized. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, see, at this point they were saved. They believed in Jesus. They were baptized. Samaria had received the word of God. After that, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. See, according to Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Those believers in Samaria were saved. But they needed something more. There was something else. I mean, why would they send Peter and John to lay hands on people to get saved a second time? That doesn't make sense. They were saved, but they had not yet received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they're two different experiences. Now, you receive a measure of the Holy Spirit at salvation. The Holy Spirit is who orchestrates your new birth. But you are not filled with the Holy Spirit at salvation. Here's the difference. Here's how the Holy Spirit operates at the moment of salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When we call on the name of the Lord, the Holy Spirit gives new birth to the creation inside of us. He makes believers brand new people in Christ. We have a new identity in Christ. We have a new DNA in Christ, and it's awesome. Goes on to say in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand that we are children of God. The work of the Holy Spirit in salvation is to impart a new life to a person, thus making him a child of God. Give God glory for that this morning. So now let's contrast that with the filling of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says, and being assembled together with them, he, Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. You shall receive power and power to be witnesses. That is the number one most important thing about receiving the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It gives you power to be a witness. It gives you power to reach another person for Jesus Christ. See, there is more. There is a second experience beyond salvation that God intends all of his children to experience. The Holy Spirit is the difference maker. Every believer needs this. When we're born again, God makes us part of the team. By filling us with the Holy Spirit, we become players in the game. When we're born again, our spirit bears witness that we are children of God. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we are equipped with the power to bring that witness to others. When we're born again, God blesses us. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, He uses us to bless others. You know, you can cut your grass with a pair of scissors. You can also cut your grass with a John Deere tractor. Both will get the job done. But the John Deere tractor saves you time, it saves you energy, and it saves you resources. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that is your John Deere tractor. It saves you time, it saves you energy, it saves you resources. You can go farther, faster. As Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. I was filled with the Holy Spirit on June the 3rd, 2006. We're coming up on 12 years here in June. And the Holy Spirit truly has been the difference maker in my life. I grew up Catholic. In the Catholic Church, they didn't talk about this. I didn't even know what it was. I've always loved God's Word. I've always read the Bible, but I'd never heard about this at all. And then when I started coming to Victory Church, they started talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'll be honest with you, I was kind of like, I don't know about that. I never heard about that before. But thank God I've made one decision in my life that I've never regretted. I've decided that if I see it in the Bible, I'm going to believe it as truth. I've decided that if the Bible says it, I believe it. And it doesn't matter how I feel about it. Doesn't matter what some other person said about it. Doesn't matter what type of intellect tries to come between my ears. If the Bible says it, I'm going to accept it as truth. And I can be a stubborn person. I'll be honest with you, I'm almost embarrassed to admit this. I spent somewhere between 4 to 6 months studying this out in the Word of God. I did everything I could to reject this as truth. I honestly did. In fact, I was offended by it. People would say, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm, oh, you better than me? What, you got something I don't got? I was offended by it. I took 4 to 6 months studying this out, and I came to a point where I just could not deny any longer that the Bible says what the Bible says. I couldn't deny that it was there. You can't read the book of Acts and see that it's not there. And then I finally said, you know what, God? I see that it's true. I let down my guard. And on June the 3rd, 2006, I received the Holy Spirit and my life has never been the same. And here's how my life has never been the same. Here's how my life changed from receiving the infilling of the Holy Spirit. After that point, the voice of the Holy Spirit became clearer in my life. The Word of God began to leap off the page. And when I pray and seek God for direction, the inward voice and the inward peace of the Holy Spirit began to lead me. I received a boldness to witness. I never led one single person to Jesus Christ before I received that gift. Not one. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. You will receive power to be a witness. I never led a single person to Christ before I received that gift, and now God's been so good, and I have no idea how many people. And God gets all the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen? I'm all right with celebrating that. That's what gets me up in the morning. One more, God. One more. Received an increased compassion for people. An increased love for people. An increased desire for people. Increased patience for people. How many of you know we could use more patience for people? Amen. If you have a hunger and a desire for the kingdom of God and for people to come to Christ, you need this. What else? An increased sensitivity to sin. Things that didn't used to be a big deal to me. Foul language, certain movies, certain music, the way I treated people. After being filled with the Holy Spirit, it was like a radar showed up on the inside of me and showed me how to filter my life. After receiving the Holy Spirit, I can remember like saying some things I used to say, and then I'd feel on the inside of me like, ooh, that's not good. Or I'd rent a movie that used to be okay for me to watch, and I'd watch it, and I'd be watching the movie, and I just felt gross. And I'm just like, what's going on here? I can't be watching this. Or listen to certain songs that I used to jam out to, and I'm like, something ain't right with this. The Holy Spirit began to lead me and began to guide me. And I'll tell you, God's such a patient teacher. I'm so glad that God has patience, because I am so stubborn and kicking against the goads all the way. And God has been so good and so patient, but that Holy Spirit just began to lead me on the inside. What else? Supernatural wisdom at times when I needed it. He shows you when to talk, and he shows you when to listen. He shows you when to push, and he shows you when to refrain. He shows you if a decision is a good deal for you or a bad deal for you. I can tell you every major decision that has come since that point, God has led me in the perfect direction every single time. At the time of need, the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance the words of Jesus. How many times are we talking to somebody and they walk away and then you think of the perfect thing to say? The Holy Spirit brings that perfect thing to say to you at the time that you need it. What else? Physical benefits. The day I was filled with the Holy Spirit was the last time I ever took an antidepressant for anxiety. Because at that moment, my confidence in my closeness with God was so strong that I knew, that I knew, that I knew he would direct me out of a life of fear. And that happened step by step from that day forward. My wife, Jen, this might be the best testimony of all. We have two pictures here. Let's put up picture number one. There's my wife. And now picture number two. Do you notice anything different? No, the puppy did not turn into Minnie Mouse. Go back to picture one. Something's on her face. Go to picture two. Nothing else is on her face. My wife wore glasses until the day she was filled with the Holy Spirit, and God instantly corrected her vision to 20/20 like that. She wore glasses until the filling of God came on her, and she hasn't worn them since. She hasn't needed them since. You can't make that up. You can't will that to happen. It happened. She put her glasses back on and they're blurry. And she took them back off and she hasn't needed them since. See, when we get out of God's way, God just does what God does. He just needs us to get out of the way sometimes. What else? I received a new prayer language. At the Tower of Babel, the whole world was united under one language, and they used their unity to build something to their own glory. So God scrambled the languages. On Pentecost, he united every believer with the task of building something colossal for the kingdom of God, which is what we should be building to heaven. And cold hard fact number five is, speaking in tongues is part of the package. I just wanted to enjoy the silence after I said that for a moment. Speaking in tongues is part of the package. It comes with it. And here's what the Word of God says. One of the signs Jesus said would follow those who believe was Mark 16:17. It says, they will speak with new tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Paul showed that it edifies, or it builds us up. Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Those 120 Jewish believers all spoke with tongues when they were filled. Acts 10:46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And that's one of my favorite parts of the Bible, because Peter ministered the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles. And what I love about that instance is Peter did not lay hands on them. The Bible says Peter preached the word and the Holy Spirit fell on them. Acts 19:6, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. The believers at Ephesus spoke with tongues when they were filled. 1 Corinthians 14:18, I thank God I speak with tongues more than you all. Paul said he speaks with tongues more than all of you. He spoke with tongues after being filled. It's just part of the package. It's an added benefit. It's the but wait extra gift that you get with the infomercial. But hear me, it's a side item. It's not the main course. Tongues is a side item. It is not the main course. The main course is the power of the Holy Spirit that comes on you to witness. And when that power comes on you and that begins to fill you up from top to bottom, you can't help but open your mouth and just let whatever comes out come out. Tongues is the side item. It is not the main course. Fact number six, you only need to ask. You only need to ask. Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 9. Jesus said, and so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. To everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You fathers, if you ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 14, says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. Knowing that it is God's will for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit gives us confidence in asking him to fill us. So, what should you expect? What should we expect when being filled with the Holy Spirit? It's all about God. It's not about us. It's all about God. It's not about us. It's not about having something that other people don't have. When I got filled with the Holy Spirit, it didn't make me better than anybody else. It didn't make me holier than I was before. It didn't make God love me more than he did before. It didn't make the promises of God any more true to me. It didn't make God put my picture another 3 inches higher on the refrigerator. But you know what it did? It made me better than me. It made me seek holiness and have a desire to live a holy life. It made my love for God grow greater than it was before, and it continues to grow day after day after day. It made my trust in God and his promises grow stronger and stronger. It made me want to sit at God's feet and worship with passion, and it made God real in my life. Some of you have prayed that prayer, God be real in my life. Being filled with the Holy Spirit made God real in my life. You need to be a believer to receive. But you receive the Holy Spirit by faith. You receive because you believe. The Holy Spirit produces rivers of life, love, joy, peace, and power to flow out of your spirit to meet the needs of others. Acts chapter 2 verse 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Tongues is part of the package, but it isn't about tongues. Do not let tongues be your focus. Do not let tongues be your focus. You still here? Do not let tongues be your focus, or you'll miss the point, and you'll be focused on an action instead of a release. Look, I get it. I went through the same thought process you did. First time I heard about tongues, it was creepy. I get that. First time I heard about tongues, it scared me. I get that. But now I know the farther I walk with God, I know that anything that comes from God is going to be good for me. I know that anything God promises me is going to help me and build me up. I know that anything God tries to deliver to me is not going to be scary, but it's going to be refreshing. And that's exactly what it is. We're not focused on tongues, but I want you to know that it isn't scary. And I want you to know that it is a benefit to you. And it won't harm you, it will help you, and it won't make you feel weird, it's going to make you feel refreshed, and you won't regret it after it happens, but it's not the focus of the receiving the Holy Spirit. God doesn't need you to get in the way, he needs you to get out of the way. God pours his Spirit into you, and if you'll open your mouth and begin to speak, his Spirit language will just come out. God gives us the ability. You just have to get out of your own head and let the Spirit speak. The Holy Spirit does not take control. You are never out of control, but the Holy Spirit leads and ignites the passion within us. Jesus said that we would receive the Holy Spirit. He didn't say we would take the Holy Spirit. He didn't say we would beg for the Holy Spirit. He didn't say we would borrow, steal, or demand the Holy Spirit. He didn't say that we had to humble ourselves to a certain point to receive the Holy Spirit. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. How do you receive a gift? You put out your hands. The giver places the gift in your hands, you close your hands around it, and now that gift is yours. How do you receive the Holy Spirit? You believe the Word of God, you open up your heart and you refuse to fear, and then the giver God Himself pours His Holy Spirit into you, and you open your mouth and you just let it flow out of you as peacefully and gently as I'm talking to you right now. Stand with me this morning. You look nervous. You gonna be okay? We'll get you through this. Don't worry. If you need a shoulder massage later, Mike Powers is here. He'll do that for you. I'm not gonna lay hands on you right now. You don't need me to get to God. The book of Acts, Peter preached the word, and the Holy Spirit fell. The centurion said to Jesus, "Only say the word, and my servant will be healed." And Jesus commended that faith. He commended that the faith that believes is greater than the faith of laying on of hands. And whether you've been filled for a long time, or you're about to be filled for the first time, I'm excited and I believe that the power of God is going to flow into you and your life will never be the same. Lift your hands with me this morning and surrender. Just lift your hands to God this morning. Hallelujah. I just want to ask that you pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. God, I love you. And I want your best for my life. I want every gift you've prepared for me. And I ask right now that you fill me with your Holy Spirit. I receive it. And I thank you that I have it. And I give you the glory in Jesus' name. And let's just begin to worship right now, church. Let's just we're going to take 4 minutes right now and worship. And as we're worshiping, just focus on Him right now. Just focus on the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, church. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning of God's powerful anointing on your life. The Holy Spirit is the difference maker. But be ready. Be ready, because God's about to use you in new ways. God's about to use you in ways that maybe you didn't have success before, and now that avenue is opened to you. It's all about reaching people for the gospel. Be ready, because God's going to open a door for you this week to present the gospel, and you'll have that boldness on the inside of you that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. It's all about one more, church. Just one more person in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today and you would like someone to lay hands on you to receive, I'll personally be down front after service. The prayer team will be with me, and I know that God's going to meet that need for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for new life in Christ. Thank you for just so many people filled with the Holy Spirit today. So many people topped off with the Holy Spirit today. And Lord, I pray that that power that's present on the inside of us just go out the doors and make a difference this week. And Lord, I pray for health in the body of everyone in this room. I pray that for provision in their lives in the name of Jesus. And we give you all the glory and we give you all the honor. And everybody said, amen. Let's leave with a shout of hallelujah on 3, 1, 2, 3. Have a great week. We'll see you Wednesday.